This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, December 6th, 2018. Good afternoon and welcome to the Noon Business Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's a very cold day with temperatures nearly steady or slowly falling through the 20s down to about 18 overnight tonight. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We'll give you good news and bad news. Let's start with the good news. The Dow is down 419 points. The bad news came earlier this morning. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That really sums it up, doesn't it, Rob? When the good news is the Dow is down by 400 plus points. At one point, we did see the blue chips in the red by 3%. Right now, the Dow is down less than 2%, or as Rob mentions, 466 points. We're at 24,560. The NASDAQ has pared its losses all the way back to just about 0.5% now, or 42 points. And the NASDAQ remains positive year to date, up 3%. And the S&P down 42 points, a loss of 1.5%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 1.75%. The day's losses do throw the Dow and S&P into the red year to date. The trade deficit in goods and services widened to $55.5 billion in October. That was the widest in a decade. Imports rose to a record and exports were little changed. The trade deficit with China alone set a record, evidence White House tariffs have yet to have the desired effect. And America's labor market could be peaking. Payroll provider ADP reports businesses added just 179,000 workers in November. That's a three-month low. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
And as you suggested, Elisa, one of the issues we're going to be talking about today, trade war may be escalating, and Walgreens ramps up its services to battle with Amazon.
It's Technology Thursday. We'll talk about tech toys you can get this holiday season, and we'll talk about artificial intelligence and teaching machines to make ethical decisions, especially when it comes to matters of life and death. All that and more coming up in the Noon Business Hour right here on WBBM.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Deerfield-based Walgreens partners with FedEx to offer next-day home delivery. We're going to talk about that in our next segment. But right now, stocks trade sharply lower as continuing fears over U.S.-China trade relations and concern over a possible economic slowdown have put investors into a selling mood. We are talking with Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, the developments include an arrest in Canada of a CFO of a Chinese tech giant. This is affecting U.S.-China trade, apparently. What's going on here?
So there's concern that with the arrest that China may take a harder line in negotiations with the U.S. over tariffs. Obviously, markets are concerned about this 90-day pause. We're not sure what we're going to get at the end. So there's just a lot of economic uncertainty out there, particularly as it relates to relations with China. And I think that is weighing on stock prices because investors are concerned that U.S.-based businesses either will face higher tariffs for imports from China or they won't be able to export to China.
So do we sit and watch? Every day there seems to be a new development.
Yeah, I mean, I think we will see higher stock market volatility in the near term until a lot of these things get settled out, and there is some concern about what's going on with economic growth. That being said, I think overall the economy looks like it's still in pretty solid shape. We should get a good jobs number on Friday. If income growth looks good, and so I think that perhaps these concerns are a little bit overblown, and I expect that we'll continue to see the economy improve well into 2019.
Well, it does look like investors and traders are really stepping up to the buffet of anxieties this week. Pick your dish, and it's causing people to sell. But despite that, though, the tariff back and forth with China and Europe and other countries is not necessarily new. This has been going on for a couple of months. So why is it that any sort of wrinkle with China is causing stocks to sell off to such a degree?
I think first of all, we've had a period of abnormally low volatility, so we're returning to more normal levels of volatility. Second of all, I just think that there is more uncertainty now in late 2018 than there has been through most of the year. You have concerns about China. You have this arrest. You have concerns about what's going to happen with the president and the Mueller report. You have a flattening in the yield curve. So I think that there is more uncertainty out there, and that's leading to higher volatility in stock prices. But I would expect that a lot of this is going to get sorted out over the next 2 or 3 months.
You know, back in the day, by which I mean several months ago, a good jobs report was enough to move the market. Is that going to be the case tomorrow if the Labor Department report is in line with the ADP report that came out today?
You know, I think so. I think some of that's causing some of the certain uncertainty out there about what's going on with the labor market, but I expect a solid report. And I do think that, you know, part of the problem is we see the Fed raising interest rates, and that has markets concerned as well. And so I think that that's another factor that's adding to the volatility. But I think a solid jobs report will help calm the water somewhat.
U.S. factory orders posted their largest drop in more than a year. What kind of an indicator is that?
You know, there's a lot of volatility in the numbers, and a lot of that came from aircraft. And so I think that, you know, if you look at the underlying numbers, they're not as nearly as bad as the top line number would suggest. I do think that businesses are being restrained somewhat in their investment because of concerns about the tariffs, but that I would expect that business investment will remain a source of economic growth in 2019.
Well, Gus, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Thanks again, as always, for the insights. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services, based in Pittsburgh. Coming up next, Walgreens launching next-day drug delivery.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Deerfield-based Walgreens and FedEx are expanding their relationship to launch next-day prescription delivery nationwide. Joining us now on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Bruce Japsen, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes, author of the e-book Inside Obamacare, The Fix for America's Ailing Healthcare System. Bruce, welcome back to the program. It would appear
thanks for having me.
Well, once again, Walgreens and FedEx appear to be chasing Amazon when it comes to home prescription delivery.
Well, definitely. Amazon is a-coming. I mean, they're not chasing them. They're actually trying to get ahead of them. Amazon, a couple of months ago, decided to buy PillPack, which you can see more of their ads where PillPack packages up drugs and delivers them to your home. And by Walgreens doing this, you know, they're going nationally with FedEx as an established ability to deliver anything to your home. And in Chicago, they're going to offer a same-day delivery. So it's definitely a defensive move by Walgreens. We'll just have to see whether Amazon follows through on what they do, because, you know, Walgreens still has your face-to-face pharmacists, your nurse practitioners, and all that type of stuff. But clearly, they feel the footsteps of Amazon coming after that PillPack acquisition.
Now, this would allow prescriptions to be delivered to your home the next day?
Yeah, you would have to get in an order. I mean, it's just like anything that's FedEx. I mean, you pretty much have to get your stuff in by 4 or 5 o'clock or whatever, and then it would come the next day. Now, in certain markets, including Chicago, there is the ability to get same-day delivery. Now, for the overnight delivery, the next day delivery, I think it's $4.99 is what they're charging for that fee, but that's national. And so for some people, it's interesting because if you have a certain health plan, and let's just say you're traveling or whatever, I mean, this is important for people to get things the next day or quickly. I mean, you kind of, a lot of people get mail order drugs, they get them every 90 days, every 30 days, and so forth. So this is an evolution of that, but clearly, what they're doing here, Walgreens, and then CVS announced a similar overnight delivery and same-day delivery thing, but only in select cities a few months ago. But they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. I mean, they see that Amazon is definitely serious about wanting to get into the prescription business and the healthcare services business.
Well, this drug war, if I can use that term, it looks as if it will benefit the public. Is there a downside?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, the downside I don't know that there is a downside. I mean, a lot of people's basic medications are, you know, cholesterol pills, high blood pressure pills, allergy medications, things like that are generic, and so you get them for very little. The expensive drugs, I think one of the things that if people are out there saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm on a chemotherapy or an injected drug that is considered a specialty drug, a specialty pharmacy, that is probably going to be a little more difficult. It's not every single medication, so you would still have to have close monitoring this. But I think from a consumer and a customer service standpoint, no one's going to argue the fact that this is a bad thing because, let's face it, the healthcare system needs more consumer-friendly aspects, and I think this is a good one for people.
Bruce, thanks so much for joining us today. Bruce Japsen is healthcare writer at Forbes and author of the ebook Inside Obamacare, The Fix for America's Ailing Healthcare System.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg, and here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow is down almost 2% or 481 points, and the benchmark's at 25,555. NASDAQ falling almost 1% or 65 points, and the S&P lower by 1.2% or 46 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by almost 2%. Crude futures are sharply lower, down 3.5% to $51. America turned into a net oil exporter last week, breaking 75 years of continued dependence on foreign oil. It marks a pivotal, even if it's likely brief, moment toward what's been branded energy independence. Well, now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Elisa. Grain markets have stabilized after early morning selling pressure concerns about U.S.-Chinese relations. The trade's getting uneasy about not seeing actual bean sales take place. The next market maker for the grain complex will be Friday morning's weekly export sales report. Corn futures are mixed, down a quarter to up a quarter of a cent, soybeans 4 to 5 cents lower, and the wheat market 2 to 3 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55 and live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are lower today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Technology Thursday, the year's coolest gadgets.
What happens to decision-making when driverless cars are the norm?
A final funeral service in Houston for President George H.W. Bush.
And Chicago mayoral candidate Tony Preckwinkle gets a big boost from labor.
Wall Street right now, the Dow down 503 points, the NASDAQ off 81, S&P 500 down by 52.
AccuWeather says a couple of flurries in northwest Indiana through the midday hours, otherwise brisk and cold today. Sunshine, temperatures nearly steady or slowly falling through the 20s into the teens tonight. It's 26 degrees right now, and the noon business hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, we're seeing red again on Wall Street. Brian Battle is Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. What do you make of this week, Brian?
Well, Chris, the good news is we're down 545 points in the Dow right now, which it seems like an unbelievable thing to say, but we were down 785 points earlier. And then in Europe, they were down anywhere between 3 and 3.5% in the overnight. So in the U.S., it's not as bad as it is elsewhere, and we're kind of getting some stability, although that seems ridiculous at down 500. What's happened is all the things that were going right seemed to be going wrong, and then we had some news items. So all the things that were going right for the stock market is taxes were getting cut and regulation was declining, and trade seemed to be improving, and that seemed to not be a problem, have all started to reverse. The midterm elections happened. There won't be any tax cuts anytime soon. Regulation might increase, and then the proximate cause really for what's happened recently is the U.S. arrested the CFO of a large Chinese technology company. So she is the CFO. She is also on the board of directors. She also happens to be the founder's daughter. So this is a real diplomatic and commercial poke in the eye of China right when it seemed that the U.S. and China were starting to get along. So this has just put sand in the gears of global prospects for the future. And it could even be a diplomatic problem here for the White House going forward.
So it could set back the moves on trade.
I believe so. I mean, this is just a real forward. I mean, this is just as forward as you can get as arresting the founder's daughter. When she was in Canada, she was passing through. So the Canadians arrested her at our request because we believe that Huawei, which is a telecommunications company that produces a lot of chips and telecommunication gear, has been trading with Iran against our wishes. So this is a real political statement that the U.S. is making, and definitely is just effectively what the market feels like is begging retaliation from the Chinese, because this is a big company there, this is an important person there, and the U.S. has made a real point of arresting her and making a political point of this. So this has put the brakes on U.S. growth, especially after the holiday yesterday. This has just taken the whole narrative of, hey, maybe we can work this out with the Chinese and global trade won't slow down. That story is off the table, and this is a what are we going to do about this now story? This is the story right now in tech.
Now, is this in a way? I mean, there were breaking developments overnight, but the tumble that the market took today, was this in some ways a pent up anxiety that could not be let out during yesterday's market holiday?
I think that's right, Rob. You know, we were closed, and we if everybody remembers Monday, which seems like a million years ago, we had a big sell-off Monday also. So today, the big market moves are the KBW Bank Index is down. KBW is one of the bank indices that people follow, regional bank index, is down about 8% in the past 2 days, which is the lowest since September 17th. That sector is selling off because interest rates are going down. Higher interest rates are good for banks, generally, for their earnings. So the bank index is down. Energy producers are down about 3.5% today because the price of oil can't hold in. OPEC has a big meeting. There's some discussion of who's in OPEC, who's out. Is production going to go up or go down? But there seems not to be a supply problem. It's a demand problem. There doesn't seem to be a lot of demand for oil, which, again, implies less domestic product around the world, less demand for oil around the world. Oil is just below $51 a barrel, and that's bad for the U.S. Remember, the U.S. is a gigantic energy producer. We have emerged as one of the world's largest energy producing countries, and lower oil prices are bad for our energy producers. So it's not just trade, and it's not just China. It's just all the good news, everything that made the stock market go up. Right now, the market's looking for what is the next thing. So all news is bad right now. So that we're sort of tumbling on taking all news as negative. And there's plenty of negative news to go around.
Well, way back when, and by that I'm referring to 2017, it took a good jobs report to really get the market going into positive territory right after the open. There doesn't appear to be any real surprises in tomorrow's Department of Labor report. Will that be enough to stop this, or at least cure some of the jitters that are taking place?
That's a great question, Rob. So I think we all know that unemployment numbers in the U.S. are low. There's a lot of people working, people looking for work can find jobs. What the jobs numbers will indicate will be a number to the Federal Reserve that the economy is still okay. So remember, we had taxes, trade, and regulation. The other thing that has been driving markets is interest rates. So the Federal Reserve has been on a full speed ahead raising rates. And so with these market moves, with these economic and political developments, maybe the Federal Reserve won't raise rates as fast as we think. Everybody thought there might be 3 or 4 increases next year. The Federal Reserve might be taking the foot off the increases here. So that might be, answer your question, the unemployment report and a reference by the Federal Reserve that, hey, things might be slowing down a little bit, they might not raise interest rates as fast as possible, might help. So I don't think it'll be one thing, and it's not going to be a short, we're not going to get one day turnaround and it's all over. I think it'll take a week or a couple of weeks of, you know, good news or constructive news or less bad news maybe to get this thing back on its feet. But we're also in December, so a lot of weird things happen at the end of the year. So it's going to be a bumpy ride, but right now the market's just taking everything as bad news. And, despite all that, for the year, the Dow is about unchanged, down a little less than 1%. The S&P is down about 0.75%. So not a total disaster. We're just off the highs. So we just have to make sure we take that in context.
All right. And fasten your seatbelts. Brian Battle, thanks so much. Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners in Chicago. Up next, Technology Thursday. You're going to like this. 2018's hottest gadgets.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And it's Technology Thursday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. We're talking about this year's hottest gadgets. Joining us now, Jennifer Jolly, the USA Today Tech Life columnist and founder and editor-in-chief of Techish.com, based in San Francisco. Jennifer, welcome back to the program. It would appear that all of the items on the hottest gift list would appear to be a smart device, something that's part of the Internet of Things. And kicking off the list is one that is not without controversy, and that is Facebook's Portal and Portal Plus. And what's that?
Well, like you said, one of the most controversial new gadgets, because Facebook, right, is also the best video calling machine ever invented. I did not want to like this device. I love it. I have already bought three of them, one for my house, one for my parents' house, one for my mother-in-law's house. You use it to talk through a screen to your Facebook family and friends. The larger version has a 12-megapixel camera, high-def video, and artificial intelligence, so the camera follows you as you move around. It is a must-see, even if you're too creeped out by privacy concerns to buy it yourself.
Well, that's a question I have, and I don't want to play Scrooge for all of the other items on this list, but all of them involve, to a certain degree, a smart device learning your personal information, learning about the state of your health, learning about your DNA, learning about your physical fitness regimen, your skin. I mean, can we trust these companies to actually keep our personal information, like very personal information, under lock and key?
Well, most of them say that they don't actually look into what's truly personal to us. So we're keeping that information on the actual machine that's in our house. It's not being sent out. According to many of these companies, it's not actually going back to servers, living on server farms, being kept anywhere other than on that device, which is, you know, walled off with our passwords. And I know some people are listening to this and rolling their eyes, because if anything that we do online safe, I'm not totally sure about that. But they have assured us, you know, the reporters covering this, that they are doing a great deal to lock our information down. And also, we always have a choice with how much information we give them in the first place.
Couple of other things. There's a mirror that can help you with your makeup and looking a little better and younger. And then there's the health and ancestry kit. Tell us about that.
Well, the Hi Mirror Mini is a connected smart mirror that uses an integrated camera to analyze your skin and track your skincare goals over time. So the idea behind it is, hey, you spring, you know, a ton of money, you spend a ton of money for this a cream that's supposed to make your wrinkles disappear. Well, it's going to tell you flat out. It's going to look at and scan your wrinkles, your fine lines, your overall complexion, your dark circles, and provide you with recommendations on how to improve your skin's condition, and ultimately whether that stuff you're, you know, shelling out a fortune for is working or not. That's called the Hi Mirror Mini. And then the 23andMe Health and Ancestry Kit, this is pretty much my go-to these days. Last year, I gave a half dozen of these away to friends and family. This year, I doubled down. I bought a dozen of them. Why? Because a small saliva sample unlocks an entire world of information, 90-plus personalized reports on health, traits, ancestry, and it really allows you to give somebody the gift of getting to know themselves like never before. So what this did for me, super fast, I'm adopted. I found it from many, many states away from where I live now. I found a biological half-sister one town away, and we were already Facebook friends. I would have never known this without us both having taken the 23andMe and opting into sharing our information with people who share our DNA. So for me, it was a giant win. I know for some other people, it's been a little shocking, but whatever the case, it's just been a fabulous gift.
Well, that's amazing. You can call him on the Facebook phone. Wow. Thank you very much. Jennifer Jolly, USA Today Tech Life columnist, founder and editor-in-chief of techish.com, based in San Francisco. From tech toys to hard tech decisions.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, when driverless vehicles become more prevalent on the roads, what kind of decisions will they make about who lives and who dies? Joining us now on the International Auto's Orland Park business line is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, welcome back to the program. In a way, for those of us who remember our philosophy classes from high school and college, this is the computer programmers teaching the AI the ethics of the trolley problem.
That's exactly right. In other words, as you said in the lead up, it's who lives, who dies. It's a binary question. It's a split question. You know, these guys or those guys is the first answer, but it becomes infinitely complicated immediately by morals. In other words, there's ethics and morals and how you were raised. Because remember, or who educated you? If somebody is going to create that algorithm, the algorithm that decides what will the driverless car do in whatever situation. And your biases, my biases, anyone's biases that will creep in to any programming decision. Result, if you just don't have if you had a teacher who was a literal old lady and you didn't like her when you grew up, maybe that little resonance adds up to, well, if you're choosing between the little old lady and the dog, you choose the little old lady or whatever. The point is that the driverless cars quickly become cruel and literally heartless decision makers about fate.
And for those of you who may not be familiar with the trolley problem, it's you have a trolley full of people. It could run off the track and everyone in the trolley could die, or you throw it on another track and then the trolley hits somebody else and kills them. Could you run into also potential legal liability, too? Because you could have a driver who could just drive off the sidewalk on accident and you could say that's an accident. But if you have a computer program making a conscious decision, you know, the driver of that driverless car or the owner could potentially be on the hook.
You've put your finger on, other than infrastructure, the number one concern of all auto manufacturers, sensor designers, software designers, AI designers, you name it. That is what they're talking about, liability. Because for the same reasons, when an automobile gets designed, clearly the automobile companies are now very versed in the idea of reducing likelihood of crashes and reducing their likelihood of liability and so forth. But now they have to layer on this vehicles which are not being controlled by the individual, therefore offloading some of that liability. Now it's all controlled by the manufacturer or the infrastructure maker or the city that created the infrastructure. You name it. So it gets very complicated very fast.
Very fascinating, and we'll be talking about it in the near future. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Let's get a look at the markets and other business news right now with Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, the Dow is lower by 383 points, down 1.5%. So we have cut the losses for the blue chips in half. Earlier, the Dow was down 3%. We're at 24,641. NASDAQ lower by 33 and the S&P down 36. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 1.5%. The trade tensions between the U.S. and China remain a worry. The arrest of Weihua Technologies executive is complicating trade negotiations. The Chinese telecom's chief financial officer is accused of violating U.S. sanctions on Iran. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Sponsored by Baird.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.